Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and my way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread or fear, and the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it hard to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ray. Appreciate that song. Appreciate your filling in for Lawrence. Lawrence is out sick this morning. Pray for him. He wasn't able to be here to lead us in our course, and so that's why that was a little different than your bulletin there. This morning, as we look at Proverbs 31, we're looking at the virtuous woman, because verse 10 begins that way. Who can find a virtuous woman? The word virtuous, we'll start there, and I'll share that with you before we start looking at these 22 verses. In 1 Kings, the word that's translated virtuous here in Proverbs is translated with a very great train. So let's read that verse. It says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train," or virtuously, if we were to put it like the word from Proverbs has, "with camels that bear spices and much gold, precious stones. When she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart." And so she comes with a whole lot of people. She comes with an army of people. She comes with wealth. She comes with strength. And virtuous has that idea so much that a mother does. The strength and the army of people that she is by herself there. And we'll get there in a minute. 2 Chronicles 9:1. Is very similar to what we just read. When the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company instead of train. And so when we think about this word virtuous, it is a word that has to do with strength and army and wealth. And that kind of characterizes a mother, the strength that she has. She is a one-woman army because of all the different things that she does. And she is a wealth of information, a wealth of help, a wealth of encouragement. And there's just so much wealth there. And I saw this cartoon this week that I thought explains it pretty well with the two children outside the house. And they say, "Mom, we've hired a few people to fill in for you while you relax on Mother's Day." And if you look at those, there's a nurse, and there's a taxi driver, there's a school teacher, there's a maid, there's even a clown because mothers have to entertain their children, you know. There's a priest there, and of course for us it would be like a spiritual guide where teaches them the Word of God. And so all of these things a mother is, she's an army of wealth and she's strong there. And so as we look at Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10, where we have this here, there are 22 verses that describe a virtuous woman. And in the Hebrew, it's poetry. And each one of those verses starts with the first letter. The first verse starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the next one. So there you are. There's the Hebrew alphabet for you. Now, you probably know that if you're reading Hebrew, you got to start all the way over here on the right. So the top right, Aleph, that's like our A there. And so the first verse here starts with the Hebrew Aleph. The second verse starts with Beth. And so can you imagine, as God is inspiring this word, instead of using alliteration, like I'm going to do this morning, I'm not going to have each verse start with a Hebrew letter or even an English letter. All of them are going to start with the same one, C. So we're going to look at 22 characteristics of a virtuous mother, and there are 22 here from the Hebrew. And can you imagine the poetry? And of course, we know that the writers of the scriptures were inspired of God. And God told them what to write, and they were able to have this beautiful poetry, but they were educated people as well, and God used them. And so as we look at this wonderful poem that is written in Hebrew, we see, first of all, the virtuous woman is cherished. In verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." You just can't put a price on the value of a godly mother. I'm sure you've all seen, probably most of you anyway, these MasterCard commercials, you know, a different price for this and this. And then the last one is, it's just priceless. You can't put a price tag on it. Well, the godly mother is cherished. Her price is far above rubies. Verse 11, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." She's trustworthy, that is, confidential there. The word trust in Hebrew has the idea of attaching to oneself, to something. And so he is able to trust in his wife with great confidence there. Trust her not just to be faithful to him, but to trust her with the children, trust her with finances. He trusts her, because she has this quality that he can safely trust in her. Now, we know that we trust in the Lord. We know that salvation that we have from the Lord is cherished, and that's far above rubies as well. And so these characteristics that we see of a godly mother will often be characteristics of God himself, because all of us are to be like Christ. We are becoming like him as he works his full salvation in our lives there to conform us to his image. Verse 12, "She will do him good." I emphasize that. Godly wife and mother, she does her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. And so she is considerate there. and verse 12. She is a real help meet, because that's what the Bible says in Genesis a wife was. When God gave Eve to Adam, He gave her to be a help meet there. And so she is unselfish. She is a real helpmate, and she wants to do what is best for her husband, even if he is slow in doing what he's supposed to do. I told my wife once, I saw a sign, I said, you know, this is men. It says, if a man says he's going to fix something, you don't have to remind him every 6 months. You know, he will get to it, you know. And so the wife is considerate there of her husband, maybe even when he takes a little bit too long to get some of those things done. Verse 13 says, she seeks wool and flax. She works willingly with her hands. And so we see that she is creative here. She takes the initiative. You know, there are some people, whether mothers or not, they'll do anything for you. You just ask them to do it, and they'll do it. And you appreciate people like that. But what about those people that you don't even have to ask them? They kind of figure out what you need before you need it and do it for you. And isn't that what God does for us? He knew that we needed salvation, and He provided salvation for us before we even knew we were sinners. Well, mothers do like that as well. They know what the children need. They know what the husband needs. They know what is good for the family, and they are creative to figure those things out. Sometimes we hear the phrase, when a mother leaves the house and goes and gets a job outside the house, we use a phrase, working mother. And that's really a redundant statement, isn't it? Because we know that every mother is a working mother. It is a difficult job there. And so she's creative. Verse 14, she's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She's conscientious there. She finds a way to make it work. She imports things there, and that's what the merchant ships do. They bring in things to the house. She's very industrious there. And as one person has said here, this woman is compared to a merchant ship. She's not compared to a battleship, you know, and so that's an encouraging thing there for us as well. She's very conscientious of her family. She realizes that God has given her that position to be a minister, to be a helpmeet, and she's very creative. She's very conscientious. But also we see in verse 15, it says, she rises also while it is yet night. She gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens there. And so up at night, we see that she is compassionate there as well. And she is caring for them all through the night. Whenever they are babies and they're crying in the middle of the night and they need care, mothers aren't concerned about their own sleep. Oh, sure, they want it and they need it. But they sacrifice that for the child because they're so compassionate there. It says in this verse 15 that she gives a portion to her maidens. And that word portion is a word that means a statute or a law. And so mothers kind of do that as well. They kind of lay down the law there. She sets the rules for the house. But yet, even in doing that, there's compassion there. I'm thankful for a compassionate mother there and for the long life that God has given to my mother as well. Number 7, verse 16, she's clever. She considers a field and buys it. And with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard there. She's a planner. She is looking ahead for what's to the future, and she cleverly plans out what is best for my family there. And so we see, like that cartoon picture, all of these different things that a mother is and for the wisdom that she has. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength, and she strengtheneth her arms. You know, you carry around the babies, you know, and it's not one of these weightlifting kind of mothers here we see. But we do see here that she is conditioned she's healthy. She realizes that she has to keep herself in good health because her family needs her. And even though there are times of sickness in her own life, she doesn't stop being a mother. You just have to keep on going there and be that strong condition. She doesn't need to go to the gym and have a workout because the kids give her the workout, don't they? You know, I know we did. There were three of us that were just about 4 years apart, I guess, and then the other one came about 12 years later. And so the three of us, we gave her a good workout there, and she was conditioned. And her longevity and her ability to care for her family beyond those formative years is dependent upon her being conditioned and keeping herself in health, and she does that as well. Verse 17, she girds her loin with strength. Verse 18, number 9, she layeth her hands to the spindle. No, verse 18, excuse me, I skipped that one. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. I started to call this one Christian because the candle was used for reading, but I just called it a candle burner. She is indeed a candle burner because she's a woman of the Word. A virtuous woman is not a woman of the world, but she is a woman of the Word of God. She realizes that she needs it for her own strength, for her own spiritual health there. And a person, a woman, cannot be a virtuous woman without Christ. Can't be a virtuous woman without the Word of God. And so that Word of God and that reading about His Word and studying His Word so that she can feed that to her children and not just feed them the physical food that they need as well. Verse 10, or number 10, excuse me, and verse 19, she is a clothier. Verse 19, she lays her hands to the spindle, her hands hold the distaff. She provides clothes for her children. Doesn't mean that she necessarily makes them herself, but she's going to make sure that they have whatever they need. It may be from the flea market, it may be from the yard sale, it may be from the most expensive baby clothing store around, but she's going to provide one way or the other. She's going to take care and make sure that her children have the clothing that they need. Number 11, verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. Notice the singular one time here and plural one time here in this verse. And we're halfway there with charitable. She is a giving person. With her one hand, she is reaching it out, extended to the poor, giving to them as they need. And then both hands, it says, they are extended to the afflicted, to those that are sick and in need of help. She has both hands helping them. So she's giving and she's helping. She's very charitable in her life. Number 12 is already there. She is courageous. She is not afraid. She's not afraid of the snow, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She will protect her children. She will do whatever is necessary. She's not afraid of the snow, the bad weather, storms that may come. Her children have scarlet. We think of scarlet as meaning red, but here this particular word is a Hebrew word that means a double garment here. And so she's wrapped up. The children, they don't leave the house without their sweater on. You know, that's what you wear when your mother is cold, right? That's the definition of a sweater there. And she is making sure that they are doubly covered and they have everything that they need. Number 13 is from verse 22. She maketh herself coverings, coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. And here, another characteristic of a virtuous, godly woman is that she is covered. Some people may call it old-fashioned and old-timey, but here the Bible talks about it as being a lady, being feminine. The clothing is silk. The clothing is purple. These are not masculine things. They're feminine things. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, talks about a woman having a chaste conversation, behavior that is holy. It talks about her being adorned with a meek and quiet spirit. In 1 Peter, it doesn't talk about silk and purple, but it's talking about a godly woman here is covered there and is honoring to the Lord. There's modesty there. There's purity, a chasteness, as we read over in 1 Peter. Then we come to the next one. She's complimentary. Her husband is known in the gates. Why? Well, because she's complimentary of him. When he sits among the elders of the land, and being complimentary of a husband is a wise thing for a wife to do. Not that he's always doing what's right and he's always perfect, but he's known in the gates because of her. And sometimes wives will make the mistake of running down their husbands or belittling them in front of other people there. And the children suffer when that's done. And the other way around too, whenever the husband belittles a wife and says derogatory things about the wife, especially in the hearing of the children, it doesn't help the home situation at all. But a virtuous woman is complimentary there. You've heard the saying, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. My grandmother Davis was probably a prime example of this. I never ever heard my grandma Davis say anything negative about anybody. Very complimentary, godly woman there. And I'm thankful for a godly heritage and grandmothers and mother. Number 15. She is commerce-minded in verse 24. She makes fine linen and she sells it. And she delivers girdles to the merchant. Notice those three verbs there. She makes, she sells, and she even has her own delivery service there because she is a business woman. She realizes the importance. I've got to care for my family. You know, being at home is not just being at home. It involves so much more of a godly, virtuous woman there. Number 16, verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. So here it talks about inner beauty, strength and honor. And so this is the character that she has there. And being a mother, a godly woman, a woman of character there, it talks about honor here in verse 25. The word honor is a word that was used for military, whenever they would have a soldier that would be decorated, and you would see a soldier with all the medals and all the awards and the ribbons and all of that, and that's what it's talking about, the mother who is decorated with honor there because she's a woman of godly character. Number 17 in our Hebrew alphabet in this poem, she is cautious. And we see that she's cautious primarily with words in verse 26. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And so it's talking about her words here, and two things primarily are used. Wisdom, where do we get wisdom? We get wisdom from God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. She's up burning the candle, reading God's word. That's where she's getting her wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She knows that that is the wise thing, that a soft answer turns away wrath there. And kindness is something that mothers teach. Children do not learn kindness automatically, do they? We don't learn that on our own. It has to be taught by mothers and teachers and everyone else that helps us with the care of our children there. She's wise. And she knows that kindness is going to be more effective than meanness there. And so she's kind. Verse 27, she is a caretaker. It says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She eats not the bread of idleness. She looketh well. That means that she peers out into the future and she sees what might possibly happen. I got to be ready for that, and I can't let it happen. And so she, as I said, she's clever there. She is a caretaker. She's like the industrious ant that we read about in Proverbs as well. She is just always on the go, always making sure that my family is going to have everything that they need, and she takes care of all of those needs. Verse 28 is our next one. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. And I've called this one, she's the chain link. She is the link. We see here in this verse, the husband and the children. And the mother is that link between the father and the children. It's so important there that she is respected by her family. Her children call her blessed. Her husband praises her because they recognize that she has been that link that has helped the father and the children, especially when the father's not able to be there as much, has tied them together. The word praises in verse 28 is the Hebrew word hallel. We get our word hallelujah from that. And so basically they're saying hallelujah for a godly mother and wife here that knows how to be that link between the father and children. And then we see in verse 29 that she is chief. Not chief of the household, because we know that God has placed the husband as the head of the house, but she's chief among women. It says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. She excels. In our English language, we have superlatives, like we have good, and then better, and then best. You know, she excels. She's the best, you know, and that's what many people are saying. If you read Facebook or whatever like that, people have pictures of their mothers there, and they say, the best mother ever, you know, and that's what we're saying here. She excels them all. She's praised by her family. She's praised by God as well. We have two more. Verse 30, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be commended here. She is commended by the Lord. She is honoring the Lord. She fears the Lord. She's not looking for outward beauty. That's deceitful. It fades away. She's not looking to be praised by man, but that's what she gets here. She is looking to be approved by God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And here, it's not commending just all mothers. It's commending mothers who have a fear of the Lord. And the virtuous woman has that fear of the Lord. And the last thing we see in this Hebrew poem, it says, give her of the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. It doesn't say let her be praised because she's a mother. She says let her be praised because of her works, what she does. And here on Mother's Day, we celebrate mothers. And she is celebrated. She's rewarded. It says give her of the fruit of her hands there. Romans 13:7 says give honor to whom honor is due. And honor is due to those mothers who are virtuous, who have given their lives for their husband, for their children, for their family there. And her works praise her in the gates. Where her husband is, he praises her. Her children, they praise her. God praises her, for she fears the Lord, and she is a godly example. This is a public commendation in the gates. And that's what we've done this morning. We've recognized and publicly rewarded mothers. And I thank the Lord for godly mothers. Let's pray. Father, We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the description of what it tells for godly mothers, for those who are young mothers, those who are looking to be mothers and preparing for that. How can I be the best mother that can honor the Lord? And you've given us a wonderful Hebrew poem that so faithfully explains to us what that is. And we thank you for godly mothers, those who have influenced our lives, those who have cared for us, who have taken us to church, who have taught us the Word. They've taken us to Sunday school. They have had devotions with us. They have corrected us when we've gone astray. And Lord, that they have stayed up many nights praying for us and caring for us. We thank you that we can honor the virtuous woman today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.